come up now from the village of Simmonsbury. I'm heading in a different direction to the character. I'm heading up from the sea, up through Shute's Lane, and Shute is an old Dorset word for Holloway. So I've come into this Holloway, the first of our Holloways, and it's an incredibly atmospheric place. It really is that deep, much more, probably 15, 20 feet of sandstone that's been worn down by footfall and by water running through and the wheels of carts. And then above that, there's the hedge, but the hedge has grown wild and unruly, and it's become these great multi-stemmed trees. There is oak trees, as is mentioned in the passage there. There's ash trees, there's field maples, and there's birds singing in the tops of those trees, and the breeze is channeled down through the trunks of the trees and into the roots, and there's a sort of gentle humming sound that's mixed with the buzz of a bumblebee that I've just heard, and a few flies amongst this very dappled light. It's a kind of spots of sunshine that my daughter calls leopard light. It's very cool here, and there's a real sense of stepping back, really, stepping back in time, stepping out of everyday life, really, going back into history and all the sense of people and their stories that have passed this way. And we can see on the sides here lots of words and pictures scraped and scratched into the sides. That some of them are covered in algae and moss, so they're quite old, and a few of them have dates. I've certainly seen a date of, there's 12/12/1970 there. Very green and old looking. I've seen one from 1964 with the words Pete, and I actually came down here with my friend Peter Stevenson once, who was born in 1964 and was quite shocked to find his name and year of birth marked on the sides of the stone here. There's some strange looking faces, almost sort of gargoyle like, as if they're scaring away bad spirits. And there are some spirits, not necessarily bad or either good, that do inhabit these places, according to local folklore, according to the book written by J.S. Udall, Dorsetshire Folklore. There are a race of the little people, a particular brand of fairies peculiar to Dorset, called the Colpexes. And I suppose the word coal, the first part of the word, relates to coal, because they're pixies or pexes that delve and dig into the soft substrate of this Dorset landscape. And as they're scraping and scratching, making holes or drawing magical words and incantations, their fingers fall off. And we can still find Colpex's fingers in this landscape, but particularly on the Jurassic Coast, you'll find Colpex's fingers, which some other people might want to, with more rationalist frames of mind, call them Belemnites. But we here call them Colpex's fingers. They're very beautiful things and lucky things to find. And they say if you put a Colpex's finger underneath your pillow that night, you will dream of treasure. And there are lots of stories in the Dorset landscape about the Colpex's. And they're tricksy people. They can lead you astray, or they can give you a benefit. And there's one story about an old farmer who lived down in the village of Simmonsbury. He travelled weekly, perhaps twice weekly, on his way from Simmonsbury to Chiddock on the way to the pub. Several pubs there were in those days in the village of Chiddock. There was the Ship Inn, which is now gone, and there was the George and the Clock House, were still there. And he travelled along the lanes, the shortcut through the folds of the landscape. But on the way back, it was often quite slow. It wasn't the length of the Holloway, it was the width of the Holloway that caused him to stumble around. And one particularly dark night, after he'd had a few more pints of local ale than usual, he was finding it very slow going, but he had a candle lantern, sort of candle inside a little glass case, to light his way so he could make his way down the darkness of the Holloway. And well, with the amount of intake that evening in the pub and the pressure of gravity, he soon needed to take a pee. So he stopped by the sides of the Holloway, and as he released and relieved himself, he closed his eyes for a moment, enjoying that release of pressure. But as he looked up again, he saw that his candle lantern, which he'd hung on a hook of a tree root just at eye level, a handy root protruding from the side of the tree, suddenly as he looked up, he saw that lantern was taken away. It was lifted up from the edge and the hedge of the Holloway, and then he could see it just drift off into the fields beyond. Well, he said to himself, well, aren't the Colpexes the tricksy creatures that I've always believed them? They've taken away my lantern. and the rest of the walk, of course, was more difficult and dark and dangerous. And the next morning he was still bleary-eyed and a bit cross, and he was blaming the pixies when he met his neighbour, a neighbouring farmer, standing at the gate of his hedge. And he said the coal pixies were out and about and up to mischief last night. And his neighbour said, ah, that be true. He said, well, didn't I come out into the field this morning and I found one of my cows with the hook and crook of its horns hanging from it was an old candle lantern. I tell you, the pixies were out and about and they were causing mischief. Well, the two fellows agreed, never quite realising what had gone on, that it was all down to the coal pixies.